I'm going to start by the Mishnah, Chafheim and Aleph. It's a Mishnah that we quoted actually earlier in the Gemara, back on the Daf Tet Vav. The Mishnah says, Nishbach Adam al Ritzpa Vasfo Pasul. Person, the Dam, instead of going into a Kli, after he shechted the Behemah, and he has to do Kabbalat Adam, instead of it going into a Kli, it goes directly onto the floor. And then after that, he collects the Dam that's on the floor, and he wants to use that for Zrikat Adam. Mishnah says, Pasul. That doesn't work. You need Kabbalah directly into a Kli. So Gemara wants to know, where is this from? What's the source for this? So Tan Rabbanan, Lakacha Kohen HaMashiach Midam HaPar. So this is speaking about, it's a little flashback to Horayot, is talking about the par of the Kohen Gadol that he brings for a Chatat. It says there, Lakacha Kohen HaMashiach Midam HaPar. So Gemara says, Midam HaNefesh Below Midam HaOr. When we're talking about midama par, what does dama par mean? That means dama nefesh, the dam that has the life force in it. Or not from the blood that comes from the skin that is absorbed inside of the flesh of the animal. And not from dama tamsit, which is either a dam that's prior to the behema dying or after it's already dead. Midama par, dam mehapar yikablenu. Midama par means that you have to accept, the receptacle has to have received the blood directly from the par. So what would you have thought? That midama par means this, kidichtiv, literally, which is, where is the mem over here? Mem means from amongst. Mem is a reduction in the total need to be here. So if I say midam, midam means not all of the dam, but some of the dam. So if I read it literally, kirichtiv midam vafilu miksad dam, the midam apar means that I don't need to get all the dam apar, but rather only it would suffice for me to get a portion of the dam. V'hamarav, or really it should be amar v'yud amarav, ha-shochet tzarich shikabel et kol damo shapar. Then no, it doesn't work that way. We have a statement from Rav that says that you have to collect and receive all the blood in the Kabbalat Adam. There's no dispensation to get miktzat adam. So we can't interpret the pasuk as being midam apar, meaning that you get a portion of the dam. Rishinemar, how do I know that? I mean, I need a source for that, halacha, before I can prove to you that the other one, the reading of the pasuk and the other pasuk is wrong. Which is, it says, by the dam apar, it's in the same parsha, it's two pasukim later, it says, ve'et kol damo, really, it's kol dam apar yishpoch. The pasuk here is wrong, it says, it's kol damo yishpoch, it says, it's kol dam apar yishpoch. That all the dam of the par you will pour. Kol dam. There it says you need all of the blood. And Mar says, so what am I going to do then? El mi dam apar, dam me apar yikablenu. That when I mean mi dam apar comes to teach me that I must receive all the dam directly from the par, from the par into the kli directly. Well, how do we do this? Gorin umosifin vidorshin. We just move the mem. We move the mem from v'likach, we say, instead of saying kol yikach moshiach mi dam apar, we say, v'lakach kohen Mashiach dam mehapar. We move the mem from in front of the midam into in front of the par. So it says that the dam must come mehapar, directly from the par. And that will be our source for this halacha, that the receiving of Kabbalat Adam must go directly from the par into the kli. It cannot land on the floor in the interim. If it goes onto the floor, then he did not have Kabbalat Adam directly from the par into the kli. Even though that's not the simplest way to read the pasuk, because the pasuk would have read mi dam apar, which sounds like you just need a portion of the dam. You do not need to have the dam directly from the par. That the Gemara says we can't interpret it that way. We can't learn the pasuk that way because we have a pasuk only a two pasukim later, which says ve et kol dam apar yishpoch, which means that all the dam apar has to be there afterwards. Now yishpoch over here, which we're going to see in a second, kol dam apar yishpoch is the shirayim. The leftover of the dam has to be poured out yisod ha-mizbeach. It's poured onto the ends of the zbeach. We'll get to that later in the Masechta. But whatever is left over after he's done the zrikat adam, or after he's done the azayot that he has to do, that is poured on the yisod ha-mizbeach. But that says kol. So that takes away our opportunity, or the efsharut, the possibility of darshaning the pasuk, mi dam apart means some of the dam. So therefore the Gemara says, I can't interpret the first pasuk to mean mi dam apart, portion of the dam. Rather I have to say, dam mehapar, and that's the source for us over here that tells us that it has to go directly into the kli. That's gorim musivim dorshim. Then we move the letter around. Tosfos in other places in Shas, if you remember, we mentioned this before, that we don't just willy-nilly move letters around. Tosfos says there's always a problem in the pasuk that tells us we need to do something. The fact that we're Gorin, Mosifim, and Dorshim is not because we just want to sharp knife, cut this letter, move it over here, and it helps us out. It's because the pasuk's problematic. Once I have kol dam and midam, I have a stira between kol dam and midam. So I need to do something with that stira. So that's why I move the mem in order to resolve the stira. It's to be saying, according to Malbim, that over here, why did the Torah just simply make it easy and say dam me'apar, and we'd be finished. We don't have to do this, cut this out, move this over here. So the Malbim suggests that midam, that the juxtaposition of the parts of the dam, teaches us dam and nefesh. That's part of the limud. Therefore, I didn't want to put the mem to intercede between dam and par, otherwise you wouldn't have learned dam ha nefesh from that. Very nice. Rufa, I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Ashochet, Tzarech, Shekabel et Chodamo, Shel Par, Shenemar, Vet Kol, Dam HaPar Yishpoch. Now, Vahabi Shiraim Ktiv. Wait a minute. That posuk is written by the Shiraim. That's the leftover blood. That's the leftover dam after they've done all the matnot dam. Then the leftover dam is part of Yisod HaMizbeach. How could you learn anything from that? First of all, you already used up some of the dam. It doesn't have kol adam. It's missing whatever you use for the matnot. And number two, you're talking about Shiraim. Shiraim are not me'akev. That's one of the avodot that you have to do with the dam. But if you don't do it, you still need to kaper. That's not me'akev, the korban. So why would you use that as your source for the limud that you need kol dam apar? Where it says, well, Bahab Shiraim, Dave Emanuel in the Shiraim, Da Leite Likule Dam. It says, well, obviously it's not for the Shiraim because you don't have Kol Dam Apar. Because you've already used a portion of the Dam for the Matnot or for the Zayot that you've done. Therefore, what's left is the residual, and that cannot be the Kol Adam. So, Tneu Inyan B'Kabbalah. Then we're going to use it for the Kabbalah Tadam at the point in time where there will be all the Dam. That's the only point. You have Shchita. At Kabbalat Adam and Olachat Adam, that's the last point in time where you'll have all the Dam. What you do is Zrikat Adam, you're very diminished from the Dam, and same thing with anything, Shvichat Shiraim, everything afterwards, you can't have Kol Adam. So we're going to use that puzzle to teach us about Kabbalah, because it's not Shayach by the Shiraim. Even though it's written by the Shiraim, it's just not Shayach to the Shiraim. But I guess we will deal with Peshtut Akra, which is Kol Adam, means all that is left over will be brought to the Yisod HaMizbeach. So I'm assuming the Gemara will also say that Kol Dam Yishaveich, that the mitzvah is to take all the residual dam and put it on the Yisod HaMizbeach. The Gemara says, well, why did it write it there? That doesn't seem to be the best place to write Kol Adam. So from that, we'll learn that Kol Adam is really referring to Kabbalah, Shat Kabbalah. Obviously, they had a Masorah. That this was the limud. It's not the simplest way to go about doing this. After the Shechita, the person has to pull the knife up and away from the Shechita. It's something like Yitilat Yadayim. So the person has Yitilat Yadayim to raise the hands up. We don't want the water flowing past the point of the wrist where you will become Tameh and then return to the hands and be problematic. So it's over here. When we pull the knife up, we don't want the dam from the knife to drip into the mizrak, into the receptacle that is doing the kabbalat dam, because shenemar velakach midam hapar velo midam apar v'davar acher. We want the dam that goes into the mizrak, into the receptacle, to be directly from the par, and not from the par and something else. It can't be another item, kli, that is intervening, which is the knife over here. So if it drips, the dam drips off the knife into the mizrak, that would be posel, that would cause a problem for the dam, the kabbalat dam. Bedam sakin b'may mikanei achle. So what does he do with the dam sakin? He has his knife here, what is he going to do with it? So Amar Abayi, that he takes it b'sfat mizrak, he wipes it off on the mouth of the receptacle. Now, if he wipes it off in the mouth of the receptacle, then it's what's going to do? It's going to drip into the side. So if you look at Rashi says, Misfat HaMizrak, Velo LeTochan, on the inside, on the outside of the Sfat HaMizrak. And how do I know this? Because it's Yativ, it says by Ezra. In the beginning of Ezra, it describes how Koresh, HaMelech Koresh, gave the Jews, when he allows them to return to Eretz Yisrael, he gave them all the kelim that Nebuchadnezzar had taken when they conquered Yerushalayim, burnt the Mikdash, and taken all the clan Mikdash to Bavel. So Koresh, the Persians who had later conquered the Bavel, then had access to all these kelim. He returns those kelim to the Jews when they're going back into Eretz Yisrael. One of the items that's mentioned there is Kedichtiv, and here it's a Shva, Kiforei Zahav. Kiforei Zahav are these golden receptacles, Klisharet, that were used. Why are they called Kiforei Zahav? So this is something that Rashi says in Chumash in numerous places, also in Shas, he mentions it also, that the word kapara means lekaneach. It means to clean up, to wash up. And that's also over here. What it means is kiporei zahav, because why are they called the mizrakim? Why do they call those receptacles where they receive the dam, why do they call them kiporei zahav? Because they wipe off. They wipe off their hands, or they wipe off the knife on the edge of the Mizrak, and that calls them Kippurei Zahav. Tosus asks over here, just an interesting question, he says, why don't you just wipe the knife on the behema itself? Our problem is that you don't want to wipe off the knife on something that's not Kodesh, because you have dam from the par that's from Kodesh, so you can't just wash it off and throw it away. You have to either burn it, or you have to ensure that it gets put with the Kli Sharet. You have to take care of it in a manner that is appropriate for Kodesh. So instead of wiping it off on the side of the Mizrak, where you could potentially run into the problem that it gets inside, why not just wipe the knife off on the behema, which you do by the paraduma. They do that, they actually just wipe it off on the skin of the paraduma, because that's all going to get nisraf afterwards. So why not do it that way? So Tosfos over here says we don't want that, because then when you wipe the knife, the hairs of the behema will get onto the knife, and that'll cause you problems if you want to go use the knife subsequently. And then you'll have also hairs from the Behema Kodesh. So we don't run into those problems. So the easiest way to do it is to wipe the knife off on the edge of the Kli Sharet, which is called the Kippurei Zahav. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Ava, Ashuchet, Tzrich Shitein Vridim L'toch HaKli. Person who shechs the Behema has to ensure that the arteries and the veins are going directly into the Kli. Now, we don't literally mean in the Kli. He doesn't have to stick the veins and arteries right literally inside the Kli, but it's got to be in the airspace above the Kli, so it will flow directly into the Kli from there. Idmar Nami, you have a similar statement, Amar Vasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vridim Tzarich Shir'u Avir Kli. Again, that the Vridim have to see the airspace of the Kli. Not literally inside the Kli again, but above the Kli, so that they will fall directly into the Kli. Bamine Amar Vasi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Razi had an issue, or he raised this issue with Rabbi Yochanan. Hayamekabel, he was receiving the dam, he's doing Kabbalat the dam, v'nifchatu shulei mizrak. The bottom falls out of the receptacle in which he is receiving or doing Kabbalat the dam. But this happened, ad shelo yigia dam lavir, before the dam reached the airspace. Mahu, what's the din? So what do you mean, before it reached the airspace? That's ben dofnei mizrak. The airspace here means that we're not inside the kli yet. You have a receptacle. The blood hasn't passed the mouth of the receptacle. It's still above the mouth of the receptacle. And before it does that, the bottom drops out of the receptacle. So now you have dam coming through this, what now will be a hollow kli, or the avir. The question is, what's the status here? Is mau avir, she'ein sufol anuach kemunach dami, airspace, that even though eventually will never be reach a kli that has a base that will rest, that's okay. Odel lav kemunach dami, it's not as if it rested. So you have this blood in the airspace above. We just said before, we had two statements by Moraim, that you have to have the vridim going directly into the kli. Over there we said we have to go into the kli. We didn't literally mean inside the kli, but above the kli in the avir, the space. The airspace is above the kli, and we're going to see this a couple of parts of the sugya here today, that once the flow is moving from the animal to the kli, what's the airspace intervening, we assume it's as if it's in the kli. It's going directly to the kli, it's going to be in the kli, that's fine. But over here the problem is that the kli changed its status once it was already in that airspace. It's not going to end up settling inside the kli at this point in time.
Why is it doesn't even have a shem kli?
But at the point in time that it left the animal, it was going to end up in a kli. Meaning that the shechita happened. The time of the shechita, the kli was totally filling, meaning that it was complete. And that the blood's now leaving the behema and going to the airspace above the kli. As it's in that airspace, the bottom of the kli drops out. So the bottom of the kli dropped out between the shechita and the kabbalah. So that blood was already in the airspace, but it will never settle in the kli. So at one point in time, it was in that airspace as if it's in the kli, but now the kli, it will never rest. Do we say that the only time we classify the avir above the kli as kemunach dami is if it will eventually end up settling in the kli? Over here, it was at one point at the avir kli, and if it, at that moment, there was a bottom to the kli. But the kli's bottom drops out, and now this blood will never settle in the kli. So that's the question here.
He doesn't have blood to take to Zrika anyway now.
Good, so my nafkamina is that we're going to come up as a Mishnah later on. Misha kabel dam bekli, vachar kach nishbach kli. You can be ma'asif the dam. If you mekabel the dam in a kli, and then later on it spills on the ritzpah, you can take it out because there was kabbalat the dam bekli. That's fine. The problem in our Mishnah is that the dam went directly to the ritzpah. So if you consider ki munach dami, if you consider as if it went into the kli, I can then scoop it up from the ground and I can use that dam for zrikat the dam. But if I don't consider it as being munach b'kli, then I can't do that. So that's the question. So I'm related to Nitua. We have a brighter from Para Aduma. Chavit shemunach atachad azinuk. So you have a kli, but it's placed under a zinuk, under a pipe. You have a pipe that is bringing fresh flowing water from a mayan, from a spring. We know from a depara duma, you need maim chayim el keli. You need live water to be received into a kli in order to do the kiddush of the efer apara. So that water that you're getting, it's coming out of a pipe. Maim shibetocha vishibchutzala psulim. The water that is inside of this and outside of it is pasul. So he took a kli, a chavit, and this is not the chavit that he's using to be mekadesh the mayim. He simply has a barrel that's sitting there under the pipe that's collecting the water. Any water that's going from the pipe to the barrel and the water inside of the barrel, all of that is psula, all of that is no good for using for mayim chayim el keli. That is because if it's in the receptacle, it's no longer, we're going to see in a second why, it's no longer mayim chayim el keli because now it's been collected inside of the kli. That which is between the pipe and the kli will eventually end up in the kli. So because it's projected based on the force of the flow of the water out of the pipe to the chavit, it will eventually end up in the kli. It's classified as being as if in the kli at that moment in time. But I'm going to prove to you that anything that's in the avir is classified as being inside the kli itself. So that's what I'm going to use as my proof. Now the second half of the bright is tirach pi al zinok amayim. If he moves the barrel all the way up, and now it's directly attached to the pipe. There's no airspace between the pipe and the barrel. The pipe basically goes directly into the barrel. Over there, shibtocha psula, or psulim. The water inside of the barrel is clearly problematic because you're collecting the live water there. Shibchutzula, that was just outside of it, ksherim. What do you mean what's outside of it? There can't be anything outside. There was no more airspace between them. So after here, chutzula means anything in the pipe. The water that's still in the pipe is kasher, but what's in the barrel is problematic. So Mar says, Haimai, what are you doing here? How could you bring this bright as a proof? Let's think about it. The Braita says over here, I have a pipe that has water flowing out of it. It's going to eventually end up in a barrel. And I say the water between the pipe and the barrel is considered as being in the barrel, and it's problematic. So I'm going to say over here too, by the dam, I have dam coming out of the Beimat Shchita, and it was going into a receptacle that had a bottom. So I can say, that's good. It's done already. You had to come out the dam already. Then eventually the bottom falls out, and then it comes in. Why do we matter? Everything in the airspace is considered to be good. But it says two cases are not comparable at all. How could you compare these two cases? He asked about something, airspace that will never rest. But I mean that the answer is not the same case as the question. The question case is where the bottom drops out of the receptacle. Over here, we're talking about a case where the bottom remains there in the receptacle. The water eventually ends up inside of this chavit, inside this pitcher, this barrel, and settles there. So of course the avir, the water in the avir, is good. Or not here, in this case it will be problematic, because it eventually ends up in the barrel, settled in the barrel. We have a case here where the blood will never settle inside the receptacle of the Kabbalah. So how can you compare the two? Mar says, Tartike Bo Yimina. He actually asked him two questions. If you could conclude that when the bottom drops out, that's lav kimunach dami, please tell me, avir shesofel anuach, airspace that will end up settling, what's the din there, mai? So that's the answer to that question we can bring from the Braita. So B'Yochanan answered one of the two questions of that Ravasi posed. Posed two questions, one about avir shesofel anuach, and avir shesofel anuach. And he brought a Braita from Parah Duma that solved one of those two problems, which is avir shesofel anuach. So now, Rav Yosef Maniachi, that was the rendering of this discussion according to Rav Yosef. Rav Kahana Matne, Kahana says this is the conversation. Chavit boi mine, upashit le chavit. He asked about a chavit, and he gave an answer about a chavit. I mean, it's very simple. He only asked him the second question, which is the sofel anuach, and he answered him about sofel anuach. He didn't know the braita, and he brought him the braita from Parah to solve the problem, right? Amoraim are assumed to know Mishnayot, they're not necessarily assumed to know all the Braitot. So Rabbi Yochanan solved Rav Asi's question by giving him the Braita, or reading him the Braita. Rabba Matne, on the other hand, Rabba rendered the conversation this way, Chavit bai minei, upashit le mizrak. The other way around, he asked a question about a chavit, about a barrel or a pitcher, something that's in the airspace, is it considered as if settled? And upashit le mizrak, and he answered him from our case here by a regular shechita in the Mikdash. Why? Let's think about this. There has to be, in order to do Kabbalat Adam, there has to be some sort of flow out of the animal. The blood is leaving the animal and going into the Mizrak. There is some airspace between the blood that is leaving the animal and reaching the Mizrak that's down below. obviously the airspace can't be posel. If the airspace is posel, then I have davar acher in between, and that's not going to work. We said that, first of all, the vridim have to go to tocha kli directly. Well, directly we said before, it doesn't mean he sticks it inside the kli. You can't. It's very hard. You can't get it inside the kli necessarily. They may be too big. The whole neck of the animal may be too big to get inside. The only meaning is that we direct the blood to flow into the kli. So if that's the case, then once it reaches the avir, it's clearly okay at that point in time. That's classified as being not problematic. If that's classified as not being problematic, I show you that what's the status of avir, what's the status of the blood between the neck of the animal, the vridim, and the kli, must be as kemunach kli. Because if it's not considered munach kli, we would run into a problem of there's some sort of intervening receptacle or issue which is called avir. If that's the case, it would be pasul. So I'll prove it to you from Mizrach that avir is considered as if to be settled in the kli afterwards. Alright, Snanatam. We have a mission over there being by Paraduma again. Here again you have a flowing water, you have a live Mayim Chaim coming down a mountainside. And he redirects the water. The water's flowing. He wants to redirect it into his kli. So Natanya do oraglo. He stuck his hand there to divert the water, his foot. Oh, your elei rakot, or leaves of, he took a leaf of lettuce. And he redirected the water to flow into his bucket. Kadesh yavru amayim l'chavit, so they move into his receptacle. Psulim, that doesn't work. We'll discuss in 1 second why. Alei kanim, valei aguzim. Instead he uses the leaves of reeds, or the leaves of nuts. Over there, which the distinction between these and alei rakot, they're not edible. The leaves of the rakot are edible, these are not edible. Kshera, that's ksher. Zekla, what's the principle here? Davar mekabel tuma psulim. Anything that's mekabel tuma cannot be the diverter of the water. Davar sheino mekabel tuma ksherim. Anything that's not mekabel tuma can be the diverter of the water. Minahane mile, where do we know this from? What's the source for this? Dam rabbi yochan, mishir rabbi yossi, barabba, makra, ach mayan uvor mikve mayim yetor. So this is talking about Dena Parshat Shmini, where it discusses about Tumat and Vela. It talks about there, about the mikveh, and how you can, one can be Mateyam themselves. So what's Tahor here? Ach Mayan Uvor Mikveh Mayin Iye Tahor. Havyatan Ayadei Tahara. So when you need to make a Mayan, or you need to make a Bor, Mayan being the live spring, and Bor being a mikveh. So if you want either of those two, Havyatan Ayadei Tahara, their existence, or their creation, must be done through something that is Tahor. So you can't use something that's Mikabel Tuma to create those items. So because of that, you can't use a hand, a foot of a human being, which would be mekabel tuma. You can't use a leira coat, which are ochel, so they are mekabel tuma. What you can use are leaves that aren't mekabel tuma, which are the elei gozim, elei kanin, because they're not edible. If they're not edible, then they don't have any kabbalat tuma. They're not. There's nothing about them that will allow for kabbalat tuma. It's not literally that they are tamei. These are items that can be mekabel tuma. It doesn't mean that the human being is tamei at the time that he puts his hand there. It doesn't mean that the alei rakot are tameim at the time. It just have the potential to be mekabel tuma. Havyatana yidei tahara. Where it says tahara here means literally something that cannot be mekabel tuma. Something tahara means complete tahara. Something that has no possibility. Right. Has no shaykhut to tuma. That's where they're reading it. Obviously, I understand what you're saying. That we can use tahor items. That's not what the Gemara is after. The Gemara is after tahor means literally no, that this has no shaykhut to the pashat tuma. You can only use things that are not mekabel tuma whatsoever. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zoto Merit, from this we can conclude, Avir Kli, Kikli Dami. That the airspace of the clay is Kikli Dami. So here you have another case where it's exactly the same, where we can learn from it. What happened here? He diverted the water into his clay. If he diverted his water into the clay, what's happening? The diversion pushes the water towards the clay, but there's some gap between the diversion and the clay itself. That means there's an airspace there. Now, if airspace is problematic, then again, you'd run into the problem that you're not doing direct Kabbalah of the Mayim Chaim into the clay. There's a diversion, that air should posel it. Ella, what are you going to say? That the avir, that airspace in which the water is directed towards the clay, is considered as if it's inside the clay, and it's as if it went directly into the clay, and there's no problem. So the same thing here. Again, we can conclude this could be the answer. Tosfos says, I don't know. Ma'achim matzah l'mishat le'el. Gemara could ask the question earlier about whether avir clay is kikli dummy. Here's the answer. The answer is from this Mishnah in Parah. You see that that's the case, that avir clay kikli dummy. That would be the answer. Now, Amar Leib Zera Leib Chir Ba'ava. Zera said to Reb Chir Ba'ava, I'm going to challenge your assumption. V'dilma b'shotet. How do you know that he just didn't basically put the kli directly by the diversion. Who says there's any airspace here? You're making an assumption that he diverts the water and there's some airspace before it reaches the kli. Why can't he divert the water and then put the mouth of the kli directly next to the diversion? And then there's no airspace. There's nothing to talk about. It goes directly into the kli. It's never above the kli or outside of the kli when it's diverted. So you listen to this answer. Malay tarda. So Rashi says over here, tarda means shote bahu. You know, you're so quick to answer, you're a foolish, quick answers here that you're trying to give. What are you saying over here? This is such a foolish statement. The Aruch brings down that it's really not tarda, but trara, from the word rear, someone is drooling. And drooling like a fool. Basically, he's calling it, basically saying that your question is no question. Kedei she'avru l'chavit. The Mishnah says, not that he puts it into the chavit, but kedei she'avru amayim l'chavit. He redirects the water so that it will eventually get to the chavit. It's not going into the chavit. She'avru. Yavru means it's going to pass towards the kli. So that means that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where it's not going directly into the kli, but there's some gap between the diversion and the kli itself. So that's how we can prove it from here. This Mishnah can either reconcile with Rabbi Tzadok, or Rabbi Tzadok can be the author of this Mishnah, or they're both saying the same thing. And whatever the Gemara does, a lot of times the Gemara does is they're going to bring a Mishnah from an idiot. Idiot is a Masechta that does not have any topic. It's just a collection of statements that happened on the Yom that Nitmana, the day that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed to be the Nasi. So over here, they're going to have a mission that's related to what we're just saying. Ditnan. Eid Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok gave a testimony. Azochalim shekilchan balei gozin. That if you have something, water that is flowing, that was redirected by the leaves of nuts, shein ksherim, that they were kasher. So over here they wanted to collect Maim Chaim, and they redirected it with Alei Gozim into a Chavit, and they said kasher. Ze'amah Maseh Olaya. This was a case that came up in a location called Olaya. Ba Maseh L'Frei Chamim L'Shkat Gazit. And the question was taken all the way up to the Supreme Court, up to the Beit Din HaGadol, and L'Shkat Gazit, Be'achshiru, and they said it's fine. So this is exactly our case, that Avir Kli, the Avir is not a problem. The Avir does not present the problem. So in our case here, by the Kabbalat Adam, the Avir also will not present the problem. And by Maim Chaim El Kelly, when you need a live water to get into the clay, also the Avir will not present the problem. As long as the blood is going directed, and the only way it can flow is towards the clay, or the water is directed in such a way that the only way it can go towards the Chavit, that is fine. That Avir space, the airspace in between, is considered as if in the Chavit, or inside the receptacle of Kabbalat Adam, and it's not problematic. Someone who puts a mum in the ear of a par, and then he receives the dam, it's pasul. So what happened here? He had shchitat habeima when the beima was tamim, totally fine. Between the time he does the shchitah and the kabbalat dam, he goes and makes a mark, a blemish, in the ear of the par. What's the din? He says pasul. You have a mum in the animal after shchita, it's problematic. Shenemar says v'lakach midam hapar. What does it mean? Lakach has to do the receiving the kabbalat adam midam hapar parsha yakvar. The par that was here was the exact same par that was at the time of shchita. Par at the kabbalat adam has to be the same par. Just like there was no mum at shchita, because you can't do shchita kodshim with a mum. So to over here, the kabbalat adam has to be done with that same par without any mum in it. Obviously, it has its head taken off already. But besides for that, there can't be any mum in it. Where it says, Ashkechan Kodshei Kodoshim, that pasuk is found by the par of the Kohen HaMashiach, which is talking about Kodshei Kodoshim. Kodshim Kalim, and I already know the same is true by Kodshim Kalim, that you can't have a mum intercede or come into the effect between the time of the Shechita and the Kabbalat Adam. Amarav Tanya, we have a brayta that says that by the Korban HaPesach, it says, Set Tamim Zachar Ben Shana, that the Korban HaPesach has to be a Set Tamim, Zachar, Ben Shana, these are all the qualifications. Shetamim, Uven Shana, B'Shat Shechita. B'Kabbalah, V'Holachah, B'Zrika Minayim. So I know, it says right before that in the puzzle, Tachosu, that you shecht it. So Shechita has to have all these qualifications. How do I know all these qualifications extend beyond Shechita to also Kabbalah, Holachah, Zrika, the other three Avodot? Tamar Lomar, yeah, it must be. Choviyatea, lo yu elatam Uven Shana. All its doings, Haviyata, meaning all its avodot, must be done with these qualifications intact. That means it must be a ben shana, must be tamim, must be a zachar, throughout all four of the avodot. So that would prove to you that by Kodshei Kalim, which is a Pesach, that not only do by Shechita you have to have the qualification of Tamim, even at Zrika, Olacha, and Kabbalah, you also require it be Tamim. So that means if a Mum happened to the animal between the time of Shechita and Kabbalah, it would be Pasul. And that's what we're looking for, be our source, to show you that a Tzorim Ozen and Para, between the time of Shechita and Kabbalah Tadam, causes a Pasul.
Would you be surprised right now if the Gemara said, ah, that shows me.
Generally, the Korban Pesach only has one Chumrah, and that's Achila. So the Gemara wants to say Korban Pesach has a Chumrah, that's a Chumrah of Achila. But in terms of Korban Pesach, it's the lowest form of Kedusha. Ezum Mukoman, it's the last Mishnah, and we said that before, the lowest is Pesach, Maaser, and Bechor. So if you got in the Parah, which is a Kodshei Kodashim, almost the highest form, because it's going in Lifnim, goes into the Kodesh, to have Chazayot Adam, and for the Kfar Kohen HaMashiach. And here you have the Pesach, which on the other end of Kodshim Kalim. So here, Tamim is not Shayach to Achilat HaPesach, I would say. When you're talking about Zrikat HaDam, that's Ma'afshe the Achilah, then you could talk about the Achilah being problematic. Because there you can only do Zrikat HaDam, all those that are Ochlim. So that may change the nature of that Zrikat HaDam. So that's what I would say, that when you relate to an Avodah to a specific Maaseh, for instance there, where Zrikat HaDam has to be done for those that can only eat. If someone can't eat, they can't do Zrikat HaDam, then you could say it's integral to the Zrikat HaDam. Over here, I don't think that Achilah and Tamimut have anything to do with each other. Achille and Tamimut, they're totally independent issues. The Gemara says, Eitve Abaye challenged this, Rabbi Yeshua Meir, Kol Hazvachim Shebetorah, Shnishtai Mehem, Gzayit Basar, Gzayit Chelev, Zorekat Adam. That all you need remaining from any Zevach, in order to be Zorekat Adam, is a Gzayit Basar or a Gzayit Chelev. You don't need the entire animal. If an animal comes to me, if Kodesh, something happened, we came to me, it was lost, for whatever reason, they don't know where it is, then, as long as we just have a gzayit left of it, that doesn't matter if it's basar or chelev, either one of those is sufficient to allow you to do zrikat adam. We just need something of the behemah left over. Well, that tells you certainly do not need tamimim, because all you have here is a gzayit. So that proves against it. Mar says, targumah aben shana. So Bai says to, or basically suggests to Rava, the brayta that you brought, that brayta is only relevant by ben shana, but not relevant by tamim. And Rava brought a brayta. It's not Rava just making a statement. Rava brought a brayta that from learned out of Korban HaPesach that says, Bai, you need this qualification by Shechita. How do I know it applies to the other avodot? Mar says, yeah, kol haviyoto yah, yeah kacha. So what's it talking about in the pasuk? The pasuk has in the yeah, there are certain qualifications in the pasuk. It says, tamim, zachar, ben shana. So Avrava thought it applied to all of those qualifications. Tamim, zachar, obviously that won't change, and ben shana. So those, all of those qualifications, they have to be the same throughout all four avodot. Abaye comes along and says, listen, Avrava, it can't be, because I have a statement from Rabbi Yeshua Tano, who says that you only need a gzayit left, so obviously you don't need tamimut. So what am I going to do with the brayta that Rava brought? These are Morayim speaking. What am I going to do with that brayta over there? So true, you could just say it's machlokas tanaim, although the Gemara is loath to do that, unless it has to. So what's Gemara says? Abaye says, say that brayta that you brought, Rava, is talking just about ben shana. The aspect of ben shana has to be true throughout all four avodot. To which now the Gemara queries, how can an animal change its age between the time that he did shechita and the time that he did the other avodot? You change when the date comes. You know, the calendar changes, that's when you come the next day. See, Tamar says from this, Avraham Rava, Zoto Meretz, from this we can conclude, Sha'ot Poslot B'Kodshim, that we go hour to hour by Kodshim. We don't look at their birthdays, we don't look at what's the date of the year it was born, and then the next year on that date. That's when it becomes, changes the age, but rather we look at the hour it was born that day. Whatever hour it was born, we keep track of the exact time, and the Shana means literally, Mishana L'Shana. Literally at the moment it was born versus the next year on that date, that moment, that same hour. So for that reason, the threshold or the demarcation could be in between Avodot. He could have done Shechita before that point in time, and the rest of the Avodot could be after the demarcation line. That means he was 1 year old at the Shechita, 2 years old at the time of Kabbalat Adam, or Lachat Adam, or Zrikat Adam, and that would be Posel the Karban. And that's what the Breit is coming to teach us. The Breit comes to teach us over here that Shana has to be, for all the Avodot, it still has to be 1 year old, exactly up through all the Avodot. Now what do? The Gemara now left off, we only have a source by Kodshei Kodashim, we do not have a source by Kodshei Kalim, and the Gemara then took the Breit of Rav and used it for Ben Shana. So the Gemara's conclusion now is that by Shechita and Kabbalah, between those two Avodot, which we have a source for in Kodshei Kodashim, there will be a problem of Tmimut, and the animal must be Tamim between Shechita and Kabbalah. That's true by Kodshei Kodashim. Rashi claims over here, we saw Santosos also came in the Goli Goli. Once the Gemara already has a source in Kodshei Kodashim, we're just going to apply it to Kodshei Kalim. Whereas the Torah says, Tema de'el, gamidama par, velo midama or. So he says, over here, it's very strange. The Gemara brings a proof from Koina Mashiach, the same Pasuk, and says, ah, that's true by Kochim Kalim, not by Kochim Kalim. So where's my source for Kochim Kalim? How come the Gemara before, when we're asking for a source about Kabbalat Adam, has to be directly from the Par, we learned that out also from Par Koin Mashiach? How come the Gemara over there doesn't say, oh, that's Kochim Kadashim, where's Kochim Kalim? So Tosus says over there, V'yesh Lamar, gave him the Goli Ocha, lo Adin Atam. So since it explained it over here, the Gemara asked the question over here, so too, it means the same thing over there. I mean, that since we see that Kochi Kalim has the same application as Kochi Kadashim, so therefore over there, we're not going to differentiate either. Or you can say, since the Gemara asked the question over here, it didn't bother to ask the question over there. The problem is in the conclusion, we don't have a source from the Kochi Kalim, and Rashi just says, gave him the Goli Goli, which is strange, given the fact that the Gemara queried, where is it from Kochi Kalim? But what we will not do is take the limud for the braita that Rava had, which is applies it to Shar Avodot, the other Avodot, because that Rabbi Yeshua told us is not true. And since Rabbi Yeshua told us that it's not true for all of Odot, the limud and that braita can't be referring to Tmimut. Must be only referring to Ben Shana as a bayit clear, is that for us? And all four Odot require Ben Shana, but only B'Shechita and Kabbalah, from Shechita into Kabbalah, require Tmimut. Or, what you have to say is this Machlokas Tanaim, and then Rabbi Yeshua and this Tana would argue, and this Tana would require you to have Tmimut throughout the four Avodot, as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua does not have that requirement. Alright, we'll stop over here.